And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is looking at two sides of a subject. Each of my guests is presenting two sides of his or her subject, and we'll decide which one is right. My next guest is the executive editor of Poplar Mechanics. He will explode many of the myths surrounding the terror attacks of 9/11 from his book, Debunking 9/11. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Again, a big shout out to Heather of Ventura, who won the two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe. Two locations to serve you, 4950 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Shopping Center, or 1730 East Gonzales Road, the intersection of Gonzales and Rose in Oxnard. Our guest, David Dunbar, is the executive editor of Popular Mechanics, and he led the editorial team that produced the magazine's expose of the 9/11 conspiracy theories. He has also supervised the magazine's coverage of the war in Iraq and Hurricane Katrina, as well as aviation, military technology, and other topics. David will be joining us. He's a little bit late, but he'll be joining us a little later in the show. It is now coming up on the 10-year anniversary of September the 11th. That'll happen next Saturday. And it's hard to believe that 10 years have gone by since that terror attack. In many people's minds, that event is still as fresh as if it had happened yesterday. But in the intervening 10 years, and no fewer than 25 different conspiracy theories have emerged about what happened on that tragic day. And five of those new theories are even new since David first published his article in Popular Mechanics debunking the then 20 myths that had sprung up about it. Myths were really covered a wide range of topics, such as how did the hijackers, with their limited flying skills, fly the airplanes? Was there a stand down order for the military intercepts that were going after the airplanes? Lots of different reasons, lots of different excuses about the planes themselves. Of course, then there was some controversy surrounding the collapse of the World Trade Center Towers 1 and 2. To some, it looked more like an implosion that had been deliberately set, human, man-made, not the result of a terror act. Then there was even the famous quote by a man by the name of Silverstein, who said to pull it regarding the World Trade Center Building Number 7 in regards to the damage that was done there. That was misinterpreted, too. People that were victims of the attack at the Pentagon, some people disbelieved the fact that a plane hit there, that a big plane the size of a jumbo jet, there were very small holes in the Pentagon building, so they said that clearly indicated that it could not have been a jet airplane. And even Flight 93, the flight that crashed in Pennsylvania in that open field, after the heroic efforts of the passengers on board, some people claim that that was brought down by a jet, a mysterious white jet. Excuse me. All of these theories have emerged in the past 10 years. All of the theories will be debunked by David when we get him on the phone, because it is so extraordinary. You have to hear the wisdom. You have to hear the facts behind this in order to really make a decision for yourself. And we'll do that when we get David on the phone. Some of the myths that are propagated, the one in particular, that there was an air defense mandate, an order to stand down, even as they knew these planes were diverting towards the Twin Towers and towards the Pentagon. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the belief by some that Flight 93 was staged, that it was actually hit by an air-to-air missile before it crashed, an air-to-air missile from the mysterious white jet that I referred to just a minute ago. And some people even went so far as to claim the cell phone calls made from that Flight 93 were fake and done just for that. Of course, there are some people who contend that bin Laden's tapes, the ones there he took credit for the 9/11 attacks, those too were fake and that they need to be scrutinized. We'll discuss that as well. And then there's the issue of a chemical in the air that was detected in all three towers collapsed, 1, 2, and 7, called nanothermite, and we'll debunk that as well. So joining us now on a whirlwind tour, David Dunbar, the executive editor of Popular Mechanics. Hello, David. Hello, are you there, David? Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi, David. This is Bill. How are you today?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, I am terrific. Thank you for being our guest.
Oh, we were doing that.
Glad to have you on the show. Now, I've set it up for my listeners. They know why we're here. We're debunking the myths of 9/11. So I didn't realize there were 25 different conspiracy theories about the tragedy of 9/11. So let's just start with helping us to understand the psychology behind conspiracy theories. Why do humans seek to rationalize what appears to be a very random act?
I just read a thing about him.
I think for some people, it's kind of exciting to be in the vanguard of in this small group that knows about this vast conspiracy and is aware of these malevolent forces shaping these events, and it's kind of energizing and empowering. I think that appeals to some people. I think others have a deep-seated mistrust of their government, and I think certainly, well, we don't get into the politics of it because we're not a political magazine, but I think there was a tremendous amount of animosity towards that administration anyway, and some of it got channeled into these conspiracy theories.
Well, that's very, very probable that that did happen. My guest is David Dunbar. So, David, there are 25 myths. We couldn't go through all of them, but I want to start with the myth that the air defense was told to stand down when we knew that these planes were turning towards the World Trade Center and the Pentagon building. How untrue is that?
Well, it's not true at all. And the reality was that on that morning, there were 14 military jets on alert throughout the entire lower 48 states, the whole country, not including Alaska and Hawaii, 14 jets. And, of course, this was an unprecedented event. I mean, there had been hijackings before, obviously, but typically those involve certain political demands or other kinds of demands, and military jets would scramble to escort those planes, to hijack planes to, you know, some place where they could land, negotiations would begin, and so on. So, but there was no protocol in place on that morning to handle a hijacking where the hijackers turned off the transponders that would identify the planes on the radar, and so they did in fact scramble some jets, but they really they didn't know where their targets were, and it turned out that the planes had already crashed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and Pennsylvania before jets were sent on the way.
My guest is David Dunbar. We're debunking some of the 9/11 myths that have cropped up, 25 of them in total, and we're going to be celebrating the 10-year anniversary of the tragedies of 9/11 in just a few short days. David, the big contention by these conspiracy theorists is this, that the planes did not make the Twin Towers at the World Trade Center collapse, that bombs did, that it looked like an implosion, the type of implosion that you see when we destroy a building and bring it down. Talk to me about that. How could it be that people believe that it was an implosion and it was not the force of these airplanes striking the towers?
Well, in fact, it wasn't just the airplanes striking the towers that brought them down. It was a combination of the planes striking the buildings and severing exterior and internal columns, spreading the aviation fuel over quite a wide area, which ignited, so that was the ignition source for the fires, and also scraping off the fire-retardant material from the steel structure, steel beams, steel columns, exposing them directly to the flames. So it was a combination of all three of those. The buildings, of course, still stood after the impact. But one of the earlier conspiracy theories was that aviation fuel can't burn hot enough to melt steel, so therefore there must have been something else that brought down the towers, so therefore it was a controlled demolition. And in fact, it is true that aviation fuel doesn't burn hot enough to melt steel, but you don't need to melt steel for it to start to lose its structural integrity. And so it even at 750 degrees Fahrenheit, the steel started to sag and pull in those exterior columns, and the remaining columns couldn't handle the load, and the buildings came down. We talked to plenty of experts in demolition, and the idea that somehow those puffs of debris that were ejected from the windows of the buildings as they started to come down were somehow rigged charges, it was just absurd. I mean, even if you wanted to set up a controlled demolition, you certainly wouldn't do it at the upper floors.
All right. That makes sense, too, when you look at it in the cold logic of day. My guest is David Dunbar. So, David, let's turn our attention to the other building that was attacked. That's the Pentagon building. Sometimes with the Twin Towers falling, the Pentagon almost got lost in the shuffle, it seemed like, to us out here on the West Coast. But people who are conspiracy theorists look at the Pentagon and they say, oh, that couldn't have been the result of a jet airplane. The hole was too small where the impact happened. The plane was, in fact, shot down. And they say, why, if this whole thing wasn't staged, why did the plane hit a vacant section of the Pentagon? So talk to me about some of the conspiracy theories revolving around the Pentagon and how false they are.
Well, in terms of the size of the hole, that was one that popped up as well. It's how could a 757, you know, fit through a 16-foot wide hole? In fact, I think it was 15 feet wide, but regardless, that was punched through the interior of the Pentagon by the landing gear, and it had, among the parts of the plane, it had the greatest mass, so it traveled farthest, and that's what punched the hole. And there are photographs of the landing gear amid the rubble. There are also photographs of, in our book, of part of the tail section on the lawn of the Pentagon. They found the black box. They identified the DNA of, I think, all but five of the victims. So there's a lot of evidence to support the widely held contention that it was, in fact, a 757. I've never seen any evidence, physical or otherwise, to support the theory that it was a missile that struck the Pentagon. That was initially floated by a French author who actually never visited the Pentagon or the site, but floated this theory, and it just seemed to catch the public's attention, and so it's been a persistent myth.
Well, it is easy to create those myths, especially when you're living in France all the way across the ocean. My guest is David Dunbar, author of the book Debunking 9/11 Myths, Why Conspiracy Theories Can't Stand Up to the Facts. What about the windows? There's a conspiracy theory that the Pentagon windows were intact afterwards, and after such an explosion, they wouldn't have been intact. What does the scientific evidence show there?
Well, the windows worked as designed. They had just finished upgrading the windows in the Pentagon, in that section, actually, of the Pentagon. And they did that because of the they thought they needed to beef it up because of what happened in Oklahoma City and elsewhere. And, you know, the original window units were from the early 40s, 1940s. So, you know, after the bombing in Oklahoma City and then the embassies were attacked in I believe it was 98 in Kenya and Tanzania, they beefed it up. So they had already replaced these windows that were blast resistant. So that's the reason that they weren't blown out.
All right. My guest is David Dunbar. David, let's turn our attention to the fourth and final plane. That was Flight 93, the one that eventually crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. Interestingly enough, there are some conspiracy theorists who say that it was hit by an air-to-air missile before it crashed and that the air-to-air missile came from a mysterious white jet. Talk to us about the origins of that conspiracy theory and why it's not true.
So there were at least six eyewitnesses that said they saw a small white jet flying near the crash site. And so from that observation, there was this giant leap that it was somehow a military jet that fired an air-to-air missile that brought down Flight 93, or for some reason a U.S. Customs airplane. I'm not sure why the Customs airplane would be, well, first of all, flying in Pennsylvania, but why it would attack commercial jet. We tracked down that jet, and it turned out to be a business jet that was owned by a corporation in North Carolina, and it was on a routine flight to its manufacturing plant up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And air traffic control in Cleveland, which had lost track of Flight 93, asked the pilot to go and circle over where they lost track of the plane, and so the pilot of this white jet, this white business jet, ID'd the crash site, gave the coordinates for that to air traffic control, which then passed them on to emergency responders. So yes, there was a white jet. No, it was not a military jet that fired a missile and brought down 93.
when you look at some of these conspiracy theories in the cold, hard light of day, it's true that they don't stand up to the facts. My guest is David Dunbar. We're debunking 9/11 myths. David, the final myth and the persistent myth that's out there is about the buildings, the towers themselves, after they crashed. They did some tests of the air, the atmosphere there, and they found nanothermite in the air. And some conspiracy theorists believe that the nanothermite, which is present after an explosion, a controlled explosion, is evidence that explosions were man-made, they were set, they were not a result of the crash. How is that false?
Yeah, this is pretty esoteric, but just to be clear, thermite isn't used for explosions. It's an aluminum powder and a metal oxide, and when you ignite it, it burns really hot, like 4,500 degrees hot.
Wow.
So it doesn't explode when it reacts. It burns very, very hot and very in a very localized way, which is why it's used for cutting through metal. So some conspiracy theorists said that there were dust samples that had these chemical traces of unreacted thermite. But the trouble is it isn't used for explosions. And if you wanted to use it, say your theory was it wasn't a plane, it was a thermite explosion that cut through the perimeter columns and the core columns, and that's what happened. NIST, even the National Institute for Standards and Technology, which published these huge reports on the Twin Towers and also on World Trade Center 7, and any of your listeners can find them online and look through them, and they can make up their own minds and study the facts. But they estimated it would literally take tons of thermite to cause the damage to the columns that the planes caused. And, of course, all of that would have to been done in secret. These were business towers and filled with people every day, every working day, so It was a strange kind of odd conspiracy theory, but it just doesn't stand up.
No, it doesn't. My guest has been David Dunbar, editor of the book Debunking 9/11 Myths. David, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book and the myths themselves, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to popularmechanics.com, and we posted the original article, which was a cover story back in March 2005, And then we expanded that material because there was so much interest in this subject and published it as a book, and now we just released the new updated edition.
David, you are a true wealth of information, particularly on this subject. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks very much for your interest.
Thank you. Take care.